Welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kristen Lierley. And if you're new to our show, thanks for tuning in today. I'll give you the deets. I am a practicing OBGYN doctor from the Valley, Kakana, born and raised. And this is really my weekly love letter to Northeast Wisconsin. And I'm so honored that Civic Media offered me this opportunity, which is really a conversation. It's a weekly conversation, like we're hanging out with a beverage of our choice, talking with a variety of different folks about a lot of different stuff. Some people might call it bar talk. We had Justin Schumacher on last week. He's the town chair in Freedom, which, if you're not familiar, Freedom's about 6,000 people. He's also the Outagamie County Parks Director. And the whole conversation was, he called it his bar talk, which is kind of cute. If you've missed any of our past episodes, including that conversation with Justin, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. And we've got Amanda on the board today. And one of the cool things about this show is that it's hyper-local. And we're all Northeastern Wisconsinites. I mean, you've been around.
Oh, I've been all over the state. All over the state. My parents like to move us around.
But you're Fond du Lac High grad.
Fondy High. Mm-hmm. I graduated during the flood-ish.
There was a flood?
Oh, the great flood of 08. Yes.
Oh.
So my graduation was spent basically walking around in waist-high water.
Are you kidding?
Trying to find where my family went. And then we graduated, I think, on Father's Day, like a week or two later.
Oh, my gosh.
It was actually an interesting night because I call her my sister. We've been friends 20-some years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was getting shipped out that night, and she needed to both get back home and get her diploma. So we had to, like, get her diploma and then walk through all this water to get, because, I mean, it's the military. They were going to get her one way or another, you
right,
know?
Whether she was ready or not.
Mm-hmm. So at that... Well, that was an adventure.
That's memorable. I didn't think we were going to go down that path today, but wow.
Yeah.
So did little kid you think that you would stay in Northeast Wisconsin? I mean, you're a Manitowoc girl now. You work in Green Bay.
Little kid me honestly had no idea. I kind of just went with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love Wisconsin. I don't plan on. I mean, we have so little bugs.
Yeah.
And you look anywhere else, they got these big, nasty bugs. I'm okay. I enjoy the cold.
We've got mosquitoes.
Yeah.
State bird.
But in Manitowoc, not so much because we have so much moving water.
Mm.
So, I mean, lake flies, but.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the lake flies. That's true. Yeah. This area is the kind of place that really pulls you back in. So when I was in high school, I remember my high school social studies teacher showed us a map of Wisconsin and he circled Northeast Wisconsin and he said, people don't leave here. And I was like, yeah, I'm out of here. And then I got sucked back in.
Right. A lot of boomerangs,
just like our guest today, Mayor Eric Genrich from Green Bay, born and raised.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Spent a little bit of time in Madison going to school and and working down there. But otherwise, yeah, all in Green Bay.
So Belen or St. Vincent's?
St. Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, actually, I've told the story with the HSHS news, the big expansion over at St. Mary's, but St. Mary's is actually the reason that I'm in Green Bay, because they hired my dad and brought him to town in, I think, 78, and then I was born in 79. But yeah, we owe it all to St. Mary's.
Get out.
Yeah.
We tend to, like, stratify in Green Bay, whether you were born at Belen or born at St. Vincent's.
Right.
Or St. Mary's, which is kind of the same.
Sure. Yeah. Same system.
Why not?
Yeah. Yep. St. Vincent guy.
Uh-huh. And then high school at Notre Dame?
Correct. Yep.
So were you like a sports guy, a theater guy, a debate guy?
Kind of sports, but yeah, I did cross country.
Uh-huh.
Baseball the first year and then cross country for 3 years and then ended up working like my senior year. But yeah, you know, sports growing up, especially in like elementary school and middle school, did a lot with basketball and football and all of that. But yeah, a little bit of sports in high school.
I was like peripheral sports person.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't an athlete. I wasn't good enough to be an athlete. So right. I was like an athletic supporter.
Right. Like that. Yeah. I'm sort of good enough to like sort of play everything, but not excel at anything.
Yeah.
But you know, good for socializing and whatnot. These days, pickleball is sort of the thing. I don't know if you've been bitten by the pickleball bug yet, but it's a lot of fun.
I've played a little bit of pickleball.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually when we talked with Justin last week, he said that in Outagamie, I think at Plowman Park, they're putting in pickleball courts.
Yeah, I believe that. We've got a few in Green Bay now, some over at Edison. And then just recently, most recently, over at Murphy Park on the west side. So got the east and west sides covered. But yeah, it's a great thing to do to get together with friends and family and just have some fun.
More of those community spaces. That's, I think, what we all need, especially right now.
Right.
And I wanted, we just came from this incredible event, a press conference over at Lambeau Field. Green Bay has just won this prestigious national award. We are the Robert Wood Johnson Culture of Health Prize winner.
Yes. Yeah, very cool. And obviously you as a board member of Wello know very well how much time and effort has gone into this, you know, especially on Natalie Baumstad's part.
Natalie, amazing.
An amazing leader at Wello and within the community. And so a ton of credit goes to her for, you know, according to her, kind of putting this on the list of priorities way back when, when I think she took over as executive director and really made it happen thanks to the work of Saeed and Amanda and Robin. With their respective organizations of We All Rise and Casa Alba and CAMSA and partnership with the city of Green Bay. We're just very fortunate to have been able to work with Natalie and that whole team to make it possible. But it's just a great recognition, I think, of the work that's been done by Wello, by all those organizations that I named in collaboration with the city of Green Bay to prioritize, you know, the work of improving health and wellness among all people in the city of Green Bay, recognizing that some are struggling more than others and really prioritizing the work among those disadvantaged communities.
Yeah, I love that you said of all people and creating those spaces. And you have to be really intentional to make sure that you're bringing these voices forward, voices that otherwise are kind of lost in the shuffle.
Right.
You know, we're an old school community here.
Right. Yeah. And if you just sort of do business or do politics the way that it's always been done, you know, not all of those voices are going to be heard. And so we have made, I think, some real progress in that area and have been very intentional in working, you know, with those leaders that I mentioned and everyone that they serve to make sure that everyone feels represented in their city government and in all spaces here locally. So we've, like I mentioned at the press conference, you know, we've done some things, right? We've been able to adopt a non-discrimination ordinance and now have an equal rights commission in tandem with that legislation. Saeed has served for a number of years on that body for us. You know, we have a municipal equality index score of 100.
100. That's the ultimate score.
Yeah, right. That's a perfect score for those, you know, who are familiar with like academic scales, right? You want to get 100. And that's an indication of LGBTQ rights within different municipalities around the country. And so made a ton of progress there. We have an Office of Violence Prevention now led by a great leader in Andrea Cresson, who's doing fantastic work for us every single day. And we also, you know, during the pandemic declared racism to be a public health crisis, as was the case with a number of other municipalities within the state and country. So, you know, we've definitely made some progress in some of those policy areas, but as importantly is that relationship that I talked about with Wello and with these community leaders to make sure that progress continues, that hard work continues beyond all of us. And I think the recognition that Robert Wood Johnson Foundation bestowed on us is just a testament to that work and a reminder that, you know, this work continues and really has to move forward.
I'm talking with Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich about these amazing things, the Robert Wood Johnson Culture of Health Foundation Prize that we just, I don't even want to say won, because that makes it sound like kind of random, like we fought for this. This is not your grandfather's Green Bay anymore.
Right.
There is a real vision here. Green Bay is growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at the same time, holding on to those values that have brought us to this point. One thing that I often say, which I should have said because we were at Lambeau, but you know, that's the Packers and Lambeau Field also just a great indication of who we are and the values that we hold dear. It's a community owned team, a city owned facility in Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Pretty nice place.
The only NFL football team that's owned by the fans.
Right. Exactly.
We don't have an owner. We are the owners.
Yeah. So we, you know, we know how to do community really well. And that kind of has made us who we are and put us on the map internationally. But one thing kind of in tandem with that, that I've tried to tap into and sort of elevate a little bit is what we're known for on our game days or game day weekends, which is that spirit of hospitality, right?
Yeah.
We bring people in. Doesn't matter what colors you're sporting. You know, there's going to be some trash talk inevitably, but in comparison
but everybody's
to a
welcome.
Lot of, right, exactly. You know, everybody's welcome into tailgates and all the rest. And that's something that I think we are destined to expand beyond just Lambeau Field, right? Mm-hmm. That spirit of hospitality is something that comes naturally to a lot of cultures and big faith traditions. Like that is a major priority and an ethic. And I think something that we need to continue every day to expand outside of the confines of Lambeau Field to make sure everybody feels welcome, feels that spirit of hospitality every single day of every single year in Green Bay.
I think it is well outside the confines of Lambeau because I see it. My favorite example when I'm talking with people about Green Bay, because they're like, oh, Green Bay, it's a cute little old fashioned town. And it is in so many ways.
Yeah.
But Bay Beach, there is nothing like Bay Beach.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, one thing that I oftentimes say is the happiest place on earth is not that swamp. It's not that swamp down in Florida. It's right here on the shores of Green Bay at Bay Beach Amusement Park, especially if you're a budget conscious, you know, family person. There's not a more affordable place to take your family and have a great time.
Even with the price hike to a quarter.
Right. I know. Some sticker shock for some folks. But yeah, still an incredibly affordable place to go.
Yes, it's the tradition.
Yeah.
Bay Beach isn't going anywhere. Lambeau Field isn't going anywhere. The new pickleball courts aren't going anywhere because we continue to create these spaces here in this beautiful little community because we value community in a way that I think a lot of other cities strive to get to the point where we just are.
Right. Yeah, I think we're very fortunate in that it comes naturally. To all of our community members, this, you know, the pride that we take in acting as ambassadors when we do have special events like the NFL draft, for example, or different things going on, you know, people really, they want to open the doors to this community and give people directions and give people recommendations on restaurants and places to go like the Botanical Garden or Bay Beach or the Wildlife Sanctuary. So yeah, we're very fortunate in that regard.
I'm so glad you brought up the draft because I want to talk about that in our next segment.
Perfect.
All right, we're going to take a short break, but when we return, more Green Bay Love with Mayor Eric Genrich. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and you are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. Welcome back. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I'm hanging out with Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich, and we are sharing tons of Green Bay love. But before we get into that, bring the music back up for a second, Amanda. This is Horace Green. Don't they have a nice, like, they're kind of vibey, little indie pop. Yeah.
I'd say that's good afternoon chill music.
Yeah, I like it. It's perfect for like a Saturday afternoon in the garden, maybe.
Yeah, very
makes
cool.
You dig a little faster. Yeah, they're super fun. They're all over Instagram and YouTube. We're listening to their newest single, Nighttime Boy. They've got gigs coming up all over Northeast Wisconsin at Paradise North, at Emprise Brew Mill in Menasha, at Badger State in Green Bay, the Fox River House in Appleton. They're going to be at Mile of Music, and they also play big gigs in like Chicago, Nashville. Like they're kind of a big deal, but we hold them close. Yeah,
that's excellent.
Yeah, you can find them at Horace Green. That's GREENE.com. You like music too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Favorite Wisconsin bands?
You know, it's difficult, right?
Because there are so many.
Yeah.
And they're so diverse.
Right, right. You know, probably the most nationally known would be Bon Iver out of Eau Claire.
Yeah.
Justin Vernon and all the stuff that he does. He's got a new album out. They have a new album out.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Lots of collabs on it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Very well done. So, yeah, always interested in what he's up to. Chris Porterfield, known as Field Report.
Uh-huh.
He's played a number of times in Green Bay. I think he might actually be like a school board member, very civically engaged person.
Love that.
Down in, I think it's like Greenfield or something, suburban Milwaukee. Uh-huh. But love his stuff. More locally, Pegasus.
Uh-huh.
Big fan of their stuff. They've played at one of our states of the city and just, you know, they played a lot of shows locally, but have toured, I think, nationally and internationally. Fairly recently. So, yeah, really talented folks in Pegasus. So love their stuff.
You just don't think of Green Bay as a place where we've got tons of music, but we've got tons of music. Fridays on the Fox are so much fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great place for folks to come together. There's also the Levitt concert series, which has been in place now. I think this is maybe the third year running over at Lake Park. So that's something that On Broadway has been doing for a few years. And that's starting up June 1st and is going to run, it's either like 8 or 10 weeks throughout the entirety of the summer months here. So yeah, there's a lot of live music. We had some great live music, in collaboration with the NFL draft that was here in town. And so I did some fun stuff over at Liked Park for that. Yeah, we love music in Green Bay.
Nice job. That was a great segue.
I try. I'm not a radio pro, but I was like, we could probably mention that.
Let's talk about the draft.
Yeah.
We were expecting 300,000 people. We got 600,000.
Right. Yeah. A massive showing, which, you know, we were, you know, always kind of felt that the NFL's number of 250,000 was on the low end, on the conservative end.
Mm-hmm.
But very impressed with the showing, especially given, you know, we had some weather complications on the Friday, mm-hmm. right? Thursday and Saturday were really pretty nice weather-wise. Friday, a little bit of a dip. So I think, you know, that had an effect on things. But amazing turnout on day one with, I think it was 205,000. 220,000 actually on the third day, which mm-hmm. was kind of like Wisconsin day.
It was such a beautiful
the draft.
Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing weather. And I think people like us, we brought our kids. Emily and I brought the kids out there. I think a lot of people did that mm-hmm. as well. But that is not normally what happens at the NFL draft. It's kind of like day one is biggest and then mm-hmm. it sort of tapers off after that. So it was very cool, I think, to see people show up in the way that they did on Saturday, especially given the fact that there was just such a focus on Wisconsin culture and things. And
yeah.
There's a great local polka band that was playing in the draft theater.
Oh, I missed it.
On Saturday. Yeah, they were fantastic. They play a lot of like modern covers uh-huh. in polka style.
Really?
So, yeah. So people were having a good time with that. And then Charlie Behrens did a little bit of stand up. Was sort of roasting the some of the visiting fans and teams. So I think a lot of people got a kick out of that. But yeah, had a great time.
The dive bar tent, I can't remember what it was called, but you could go in there and play pull tabs.
Right.
And roll dice. And they had mounts of all of our NFC North rivals that were really humorous.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was cool.
Yeah. That's, I mean, they really leaned into, to the Wisconsin culture, right? They kind of mm-hmm. Played up, what makes us special in Northeast Wisconsin and across the state. So it was fun to see some of those elements.
So it was all fun and games for me, but I heard some criticism afterwards from business owners in Green Bay that
sure.
they didn't get quite the traffic that they were planning for and hoping for.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that we planned for, you know, in talking with mayors of Detroit and Kansas City, their downtown groups and convention and visitors bureaus, you know, we knew that it's kind of a sticky event, right? People go to the draft and they tend not to leave, right? That's what the NFL is looking for. They're looking for that TV production, those crowds and those shots and mm-hmm. and all the rest. So, you know, that's why we were pretty intentional about planning some of the downtown events, working with Leah over at the Military Avenue Business District as well, to do whatever we could to leverage the event and to attract people out of the footprint when things were not going on over there. But you know, some people's expectations were elevated and mm-hmm. And you know, that didn't always match. But we feel good about the foot forward that we presented for Green Bay. I think the production you know, really went well. That, you know, our priority, of course, was public safety, mm-hmm. Working with our police and fire departments and the county sheriff's department of village public safety. And you know, I knew that we've got the best team in place for mm-hmm. that. And so that, you know, made everything else possible. But we're really impressed with how everyone came together to collaborate. The NFL in particular was really kind of blown away, I think, by the spirit of collaboration that we have built in here because of the work that's done oftentimes at Lambeau Field to prepare for those large scale events. So, you know, massive kudos to those teams, police and fire here in Green Bay and the rest of that group, as I mentioned, to make really, like I said, everything possible.
I heard there was only one arrest the entire time. And the number of, I've got the numbers here. I talked to the sheriff afterwards. The Brown County Tavern League said it provided over 2,600 rides to over 9,000 passengers.
Right.
That's huge. There were only 3 OWIs, and we're the drunkest city in the country.
Right.
So not that that's something to be proud of, but knowing that we're doing it responsibly when we've got a big event here in town, that's something to be proud of.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The Tavern League stepped up in a big way, working with the state of Wisconsin to get some funding to operate a safe ride program, unlike anything we've really, I think, ever seen in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, massive credit to the Tavern League for doing that. Also, Patty Kiewitz, who is our general manager for our transit system here, Metro Transit, did a great job, you know, focusing on those downtown to Titletown routes that were running consistently really every 15 minutes from downtown here out to the footprint. And, you know, that was also, I think, a really well-utilized service. And thankfully, you know, made it easy for people to make the right decision and not drive if they had a few drinks. So, I think that was really helpful.
Super helpful. And we ran out of booyah, I heard.
Yes. Yes. That was probably...
If ever you thought that Green Bay could run out of booyah, it happened.
Like, again, yeah. And especially with that weather, right? I mean, it was like, it was not altogether pleasant weather-wise when we had our booyah battle and the Kringle Combine.
The Kringle Combine.
But the turnout was phenomenal. And my most distinguished responsibility throughout the draft experience was to serve as one of the judges for the booyah battle.
That must have been excruciating.
It was really difficult, especially since I don't know anything about anything when it comes to cuisine, right? But Jill Everman was a fellow judge, and she guided Bill Jarts and I in the right direction. So that was helpful.
Oh, fantastic. All right, when we come back, you did a guest piece on Dan Schaefer's recombobulation area. Yeah. We're going to talk about what Democrats need to do next.
Sounds good.
All right. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley with the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we have Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich here in the studio. If you missed the beginning of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts. And you can always find me here on Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WGBW and WISS. And of course, streaming on the Civic Media app. If you haven't downloaded that, it's fantastic. So just go ahead and do it. Green Bay Mayor has been an unusually exciting place to live recently, in part because we've been at the center of the political universe a handful of times, hosting presidential candidates. Donald Trump was here, Kamala Harris was here, and most recently an event and a protest when Elon Musk visited during our Supreme Court race in February. You recently did a guest column for Dan Schaefer with the recombobulation area that takes stock of this moment in history. And you asked this question: what do you want for this country? Is it an authoritarian oligarchy or a populist democracy? And if you want to look this up, by the way, you can find the piece. It's titled "Where the Democratic Party Should Go From Here." That's the million-dollar question.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know if the world needed another think piece, right?
Well, maybe they did out of Green Bay because it's a different perspective.
And it was just one of those things where, you know, I, like a lot of people, have been thinking about the direction forward and observing things playing out in Washington. You know, I've been in politics here in Wisconsin for a while, locally, obviously, elected to the position that I hold now back in 2019. But before that, I was a state representative serving Green Bay in the state capitol in Madison. It had worked for a state senator, a congressman. So I've seen some things done well and not well, and just felt like, you know, I wasn't, you know, experiencing these thoughts in a vacuum. Obviously, having a lot of conversations with citizens and activists and you know, others involved and friends and family, like we all are. and just felt like some of these things weren't necessarily being said, or maybe not all in the same piece. And mm-hmm. so just tried to consolidate some of the feelings that, that I had, some of the most salient points that, that I had heard, and express them in a very, you know, Green Bay way,
yeah.
As best as I could. And, you know, I was joking, I think with Pat or maybe some others when I was doing some interviews on the piece, that really the original title was "We the People Are Pissed,"
yeah.
which was the bumper sticker that I highlighted to just kind of channel that indignation. Like, people are upset,
mm-hmm.
and they've been upset,
yeah.
for a while.
This isn't a new thing.
No, not at all. And there's, you know, some bipartisan, you know, sentiment there, mm-hmm. That people are not happy with our institutions.
Well, and you hear what, like, Democrats, when they defend Joe Biden, they say, but he's done all these great things.
Yeah.
You know, there's the Infrastructure Act, there's CHIPS and Science, there's all of these huge policy pieces. But what does that actually mean to me?
Right. Right. Yeah. And I acknowledged that in the piece, that that those were some massive legislative accomplishments. I mean, one thing that I experienced, which was a really a great accomplishment by the federal government, was direct filing of taxes.
Yeah.
That was something that was available, you know, for the first time in Wisconsin. And it, that's the kind of, like, simple reforms that, that we should be expecting to see, you know, happen more frequently coming out of our federal, state, local governments. And I think that's one thing, you know, one advantage that I have just based on the perspective that I have is, you know, we're constantly trying to figure out how to do things better
mm-hmm.
in the city of Green Bay.
Yeah.
And I think there certainly are elected officials at the state and federal levels who have that orientation, but I don't think it's as clear as it needs to be.
Yeah.
Right. And also just, you know, channeling people's indignation and expressing it back to them is really important these days.
Well, you feel it too.
Yeah.
You point out in the piece that the federal government is good at collecting and distributing money to people in programs authorized by Congress, but not necessarily good at administering or implementing them. So for us, the money is supposed to be there, but it takes 10 years to replace a bridge.
Right. Yeah. It's that kind of stuff is maddening. And we, you know, we've got a, you know, a pretty good relationship with our housing and urban development folks out in DC, but the strings that are attached to mm-hmm. the relatively modest of money that amount of money that's sent to the city of Green Bay, a little over $1 million to support some of our programming. I mean, the amount of staff time mm-hmm. that goes into reporting this, that, and the other thing associated with that is a little ridiculous. And, you know, you extrapolate that beyond the city of Green Bay to larger communities and small ones throughout the country, and we could just do a lot better with the way that we use federal resources and just the, you know, amount of inefficiency that's sometimes built into these programs.
Are you talking about waste, fraud, and abuse?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody should be thinking about how to make government more efficient and more effective.
Yeah.
And it's not something that Democrats should concede the battlefield on, right? Like, we really want to see government work for people.
Yeah.
And we should not assume that it always is working that well.
Well, I think we feel like it's not working.
Right.
Like, we as individuals feel like it's not working for us.
Right. And that's true not just of government, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody who has had any recent interactions with insurance companies or cable companies or
healthcare.
You know, what? Yeah, right. You're the obviously the expert on some of those frustrations.
Yeah.
We've got to do better.
Yeah.
And we've got to be really innovative. You know, Governor Evers has, I think, suggested some auditing of insurance companies within the state of Wisconsin. I'm mm-hmm. certainly not familiar with all the intricacies there, but that's the kind of policy innovation that I think we should expect and hope for and cheer on when we see it.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich. We're talking about where Democrats go from here. Before we get to that question, what do you think about the Trump administration and the way that they're approaching this government efficiency? I mean, clearly, as you said, there is room to cut. But is it?
Yeah, no, I mean,
where I'm going.
No, of course. And as I made clear in the piece, that's not really what DOGE is about,
mm-hmm.
in my estimation. It's really not about fraud, waste, and abuse. If they were serious about that, they wouldn't have fired the inspectors general,
right?
Essentially on day one, whose job it is to really root out some of those instances of abuse. In my mind, it really is about implementing Project 2025 and creating a bureaucracy in the image of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's not what people are looking for. There's a small segment of the electorate that really is kind of cheering that on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about majority of the electorate in Wisconsin or across the United States, that's not what people want. And it's not how you save a bunch of money either, right? I mean, the way that they're going to come up with the dollars necessary to afford a massive tax cut is by taking health care from people.
And we know that.
Right.
We've already started to see where Medicaid is going to be cut.
Right.
And the plan is to pass it by Memorial Day.
Yep.
But there's still a lot of negotiation that has to happen there. But at least we're starting to, all of the denial that, no, we're not going to touch it. We're going to make sure that everybody who needs it still has it. Well, we're starting to see that that is actually not the case.
Yeah. And to that point, just to encourage people to reach out to their members of Congress and making it clear, you know, what their priorities are as citizens. You know, if it is protecting health care for people that need it, I would encourage folks to reach out and let their representatives know that that's how they're looking at things, because this is not a done deal.
Mm-mm.
As you said, it's, you know, the speaker has made commitments essentially to get it done by Memorial Day. They're, as we speak, you know, working through the committee process and hearing a lot from citizens across the country. And so encouraging people to continue doing that.
Yes. So the question, the big question, and I know what your answer is going to be because I read the article, but where do Democrats go from here in this environment where everybody, we're scrambling, we're hearing all these messages, all of these opinions? What is your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, we touched on it a little bit, but really to be open to criticism, to self-criticism, to criticism of government programs when they're not working effectively. And I'm not one who is in favor of coming in with the meat axe, as is mm-hmm. what DOGE is doing currently out in Washington. But we need to make it clear to people that we want to improve their lives. And one way to improve people's lives is by making government more effective for them. Another one is making sure that we have appropriate regulations in place on you know, the big corporations, especially in these new spaces like mm-hmm. the social, relatively new social media
AI
world. AI is a huge one, right? Mm-hmm. Developing literally every second. But you know, on social media, I think it's been an area where we as Democrats or liberals have not been as clear on as we could be. I mean, it has had a really, really negative effect on people's lives, and the government has done virtually nothing.
Right. Even though we've seen in Europe, it's possible there are other models that are out there, and we see the after effects.
Right.
You know, the Surgeon General, the mental health issues, not just for our kids, but for parents.
Right.
Half of parents don't know how they're going to get through the day.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do with social media and the impact on how we live our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, my wife's a school teacher, so she sees how, you know, social media and you know, screen time or cell phones in general really negatively affect you know, academics, but more importantly, the, you know, the social lives of our kids, especially middle school and high school children. And I think there's a little bit of a void there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel as though Democrats have done a good enough job of ringing that alarm bell, making it clear that we're not satisfied with the status quo. And this is going to be the agenda. And one small thing I think that we could do is eliminate cell phones from schools,
mm-hmm.
you know, really make it clear that this is not something that's going to be permitted during instructional time during the day, because there is no educational value to having cell phones accessible to kids during the school day.
I can't even imagine my kids without their cell phones in their hands,
mm-hmm.
because that is just their friends, that entire, but we're guilty of that too. You know,
right.
If you go to an airport, people are walking around looking at their phones, not looking in front of them. They're bumping into.
Oh yeah. No, absolutely. And to your point, you know, parents like myself, you know, we're not immune from it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of work that needs to be done, oftentimes not during the workday, and that's a way to do it. You know, I'm guilty of doom scrolling Twitter or X or whatever you call it.
Yes.
Way too frequently. So, so we could all do better. But I think that's where government really plays a role, is setting some of those guardrails, especially when it comes to our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You also really lean in on increasing the power of working people.
Mm-hmm.
So regular people can share their stories and use their voices and help the bureaucracy and leaders understand that it's not working for us.
Right. No, that's very much something that comes naturally, I think, to those of us who are born and raised in Northeast Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
The labor movement in particular.
Yes.
Is something that has very strong traditions and roots and is still doing some great things within our community. You know, obviously, we've got labor unions at the city of Green Bay with police and fire, our transit, and also our laborers within parks and DPW and other places. There's a lot of wisdom that comes from the shop floor,
mm-hmm.
Or the front lines, or the rank and file, whatever the terminology may be. And it's really important, I think, for us, again, as Democrats, to make it clear that we want to see more of that. We want to see working people represented, through labor unions, through our democracy. And it's something that, you know, we should be enacting policies to support.
It's been a challenge in Wisconsin for unions to be able to be as powerful as they had been in the past.
Right.
And I mean, that was the case when you were in the assembly. That was all right. Going down.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been gone that long. And
right.
It is our tradition. So we can bring it back.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, to your point, you know, I was kind of elected in the wake of Act 10. I was elected in 2012. So mm-hmm. Wasn't there for that particular fight. But was working at the Brown County Library when it happened. My wife, like I said, is a school teacher. So that had a very direct effect on our lives and the lives of the people that we know and care about. And, you know, from my perspective, that was a real break in who we are as Wisconsinites.
Yes.
That was a radical departure, Act 10 and everything that Scott Walker brought in association with that. And we're still trying to rebuild and repair and restore, the democracy that we knew prior to that.
Wisconsin is progressive. Our history is progressive.
Right.
And Green Bay is progressive. I mean, we own our football team. We've got Bay Beach, all the things that we talked about earlier on the show. There is so much here for us to build on, and we'll continue to build on that. And when we come back from this short break, I want to talk a little bit about what lies ahead for Mayor Genrich, the librarian, by the way.
Yeah, true story.
How many librarians do you know who are politicians?
Very few.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. I got one right here, and we're going to talk with him. We're going to wrap it up with after this break. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley, and you are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and my guest this week is librarian and Green Bay mayor.
Not active anymore, but formerly librarian for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's your master's degree, right? Yeah. Library and information science?
Yep, correct,
yeah.
Correct.
I hear also that you are kind of a history buff.
I am, yeah. That was, history and sociology were the majors, you know, when I was going to school at UW-Madison. So, yeah, very much still loving the history and buying more history books than I'm reading probably, but
yes.
But still reading a fair amount of them. And yeah, so I enjoy that.
Are you a paper book reader or a book on tape person or both?
Very few audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
I bought an e-reader, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago and literally read like one book.
E-reader.
Otherwise, it's just, buying the old school books themselves. Of course, at Lion's Mouth.
Oh, yeah. Just great local bookstore.
Just down the road here on Washington Street. So a huge fan of Amy and everything that they do there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd encourage people to go there. Also still going to the Brown County Library all the time and racking up, fines that and I'm paying. But yeah, I still love to read and love going to the local bookstores.
Mm-hmm. Did you always love history when you were a kid? Because I don't think I loved it as much as I do now. Maybe because I've got more personally.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think I kind of did. I kind of passed that down to our son Henry as well, who's sort of like a prematurely 70-year-old man. He's like a huge lover of like World War II history and things like that. So yeah, I've always, basically, as far as I can remember, have kind of had an interest in history. But to me, that's a really great way to understand politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm biased in this regard, but I prefer kind of a historical lens versus a political science lens.
Me too.
To understanding how politics has evolved, nationally and internationally and in the state. So I've always felt that was a really helpful way of understanding where we've gone and you know, where maybe we should go.
Especially the history of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know the history of the progressive movement and fighting Bob La Follette and Gaylord Nelson and all of this stuff, so much stuff has happened here. And having grown up in Kaukauna, I had no idea what a great place Green Bay is.
Sure.
Just how much innovation and community and beauty and the river and the businesses. And there's just so much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And all of those things that you mentioned, you know, aren't possible without politics in some sense.
Yeah.
Right. And looking back at that progressive history, you know, really, I think can motivate us and inspire us. And if you're disconnected from that, you think everything that we're trying to do is novel and new and never been done and can't be accomplished. And I think looking back at that proud progressive history can give us a roadmap in some sense too.
So let's talk about that roadmap.
Yeah.
You've served two terms now. You're in the middle of your second term. Is there a third term on the horizon?
We'll see. You know, I've kind of made the commitment to make a decision in probably about a year or so. Three terms is the most that you can do now as mayor in the city of Green Bay, because we do have term limits.
They changed the rules after Jim Schmidt.
Yeah, in 2018, there was a referendum that was adopted. So, yeah, 12-year cap for alders and for a municipal judge and mayor. So three terms would be the max. Like you said, I'm in the middle of my second term, you know, still really just kind of focused on the work we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And really importantly, you know, just need to check in with family to make sure that it's something that we're all up for.
Yeah.
Because serving in public office, especially at the local level, has a pretty dramatic impact on those who are close to you, as you know, as somebody who's run for office. So you got to make sure that everybody's up for it, because if they're not, it's not going to work, and it's not something that I would do. But loving the job. You know, it's truly, I've only had two elected positions, like we mentioned, serving in the assembly and then serving in this capacity. But I don't think you'd be able to find a more rewarding position than being the mayor of your hometown, especially when your hometown happens to be Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've been through some stuff as a community with COVID and, you know, some odd political machinations coming out of Madison with the Gableman investigation and things like that.
Mm-hmm. It hasn't been an easy ride for you.
No, not for anybody, right? I mean, it's just been an odd period of time for a lot of folks. Again, tying most of that back to the pandemic and sort of the weirdness of our society as a result. And just, I don't think we've grappled enough with that, quite honestly. Just the, obviously the health effects, which were more obvious and catastrophic, but also the social psychological effects of a world living through a pandemic like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that was tough for everybody, but you know, setting that aside, it's been a really rewarding run, and we've been able to do some good things for the community, which is what it's all about.
Lots of good things for the community, despite challenging times that have divided us in a community where we don't divide well. We need each other, and we know we need each other. So, looking back on the time that you served in this role, what do you think is your proudest accomplishment?
I mean, that's really hard to just identify one or two items. But one thing that I think is maybe kind of underreported was the cooperative governance agreement that we put together with the United Nations back in 2020. That was a relationship, the city and the nation, that had really soured and really was the responsibility of the cities. And that's why that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to play a role in repairing that relationship, understanding that it's truly a constitutional obligation for us to honor the sovereign rights of our indigenous people here in the United States. And so just to play a small role in repairing that relationship, recognizing all the value that they provide to our community and the residents that we share, that was, you know, kind of a little bit of an under the radar achievement for us.
It's a really unique relationship.
Yeah.
Are there other cities? I am not familiar with any others. And when I talked with the folks over on the tribe, the tribe is really unique in how the overlap with the city.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm not sure, you know, how unique that is, but the United Nations history is very unique in the sense that, you know, they were really from the New York area, kind of forced out of it.
Mm-hmm. Which definitely is why, forced out of it.
Yeah, which is why, you know, the United People ended up in the state of Wisconsin. So yeah, very unique history and relationship. But yeah, been very gratified to be able to be a part of that, the restoration of that relationship.
Hey, I am so grateful to you for your vision. Despite the challenge, you don't just check the boxes and do what needs to be done now, but you think about what's happening down the road and how to best serve the people of Green Bay. The people are always at the center for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks for having these vital conversations about Northeast Wisconsin. This is you've created a great platform for us to engage on.
We're going to keep doing it.
All right.
All right. Well, hey, friends, I want to hear from you. Send me ideas for topics, guests, music, you name it. This is our conversation, and we can talk about whatever we want. And in the meantime, you can catch me on all the socials at Dr. Kristen Lierley. And if you missed any of our conversation, you can always find me wherever you get your podcasts, and every Saturday and Sunday at 3 on WGBW, WISS, and streaming on the Civic Media app. We'll see you next time. I never want to say goodbye to love.